All right, welcome into an emergency podcast. This is the Arrowhead Addict Podcast. Patrick Allen here with you on a Friday morning, 9:17 Arrowhead time. Now, this news broke last night at 10 o'clock. Man, we wanted to get on for you right then. But, you know, I got a personal plea to Brett Veach. If you're going to make these moves, man, can you get us a heads up like a little bit earlier in the day? Put in a full day yesterday. I got a pregnant wife here at home, man. I don't want to be shouting into my microphone while she's trying to sleep at 10 o'clock. So we decided to go this morning. If you're just waking up, if you're not one of these maniacs who's on Twitter all night long, all day, every day, then you might not know yet, but the Chiefs have signed Hollywood Brown. So the heart's desire of many of you in this free agency period is going to be a Kansas City Chief. He's coming on a one-year deal. And let me get these numbers for you just so we're accurate. And shout out, if you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button. Let's talk this out. And pretty interactive show. Won't be here forever, but fire in some questions that you have. I'll do my best to give you my opinion on these things. Okay, so broke last night. Brown is on a one-year deal worth up to $11 million. That's worth up to... let me just pull up some more information because it's not straight up. So it's, 1 year, $7 million, I think, is guaranteed. So it's 1 year, $7 to $11 million guaranteed. So this means that Brown can, there's probably incentives baked into the deal, right? He, you know, hits certain benchmarks. He can earn more money, much like the Chris Jones deal last year. So, I mean, look, this is, some people thought Hollywood Brown was the most talented wide receiver on the market. I mean, you make the argument now that Mike Williams is out there, that he's the most talented wide receiver on the market. that's a hell of a deal by Brett Veach. I'm really kind of shocked that he got this, but I think Hollywood Brown's maybe looking to rehab things a little bit. As we got our guy Sterling Holmes coming in. What's up, brother?
What's going on? What's up, boy? Sorry, I'm on my phone. My laptop is at Power and Light District in Kansas City. No, I did not get hammered last night, even if my voice sounds like it. I was on stage doing the hype band stuff for about 12 to 13 hours for all the Big 12 teams. So if you're going to be down in the P&L district today, I will be down there from about 2 to 6. I saw a lot of Arrowhead Addict members actually down there. It was really fun. A shout out to Zach coming up to me and saying hi. It was cool. But yes, yeah, so that's why I'm on my phone right now. But
hey, man, you're the hardest working man in Kansas City.
I try to be. But dude, what? I know I said like Hollywood Brown I'm out on because I thought the contract was going to be 16 plus mil. I thought he's getting close to Calvin Ridley money. But when you get, again, 7 million up to 11 for a guy who, again, I don't believe is a legitimate wide receiver one. I know he's had over a 1,000-yard season in his career. I consider him more of a really solid wide receiver too. I consider him in the ilk, very different game style, very different playing style of a Sammy Watkins, of a Juju Smith-Schuster. I think maybe he's a little bit better than Juju at this point in his career, obviously. But when you look back at what Juju did, I think you're probably on the right trajectory there. I am just floored that the Chiefs and Brett Veach were able to get this deal done for what they were able to. Obviously, the market was not super hot for wide receivers as a whole this year. For like guards and running backs, that market just exploded. Quarterback, Baker Mayfield getting over 100 mil. But wide receiver, to an extent, was down. I didn't think it was this down. This is a great deal for Kansas City. And I do wonder if this is one of the first guys we've actually seen say, hey, you know what? Maybe I do want to take a little bit of a discount to try and win a ring.
Yeah, well, and this is a guy, he's getting less than Darnell Mooney's getting. And like all due respect to Darnell Mooney, like Hollywood Brown's a better receiver. He's had a more productive, you know, career in my view. But look, some things have happened for Marquise Brown. Like he's had a little bit of bad luck. You know, he goes to Arizona. Kyler Murray's injured. He didn't get to play a lot of games with them. As Matt Connor, the editor of ArrowheadAddict.com, joins us as well. So want to get his take. Connor, what do you think of this deal, man? I know you were up. I was in the Slack last night because I knew it was like after 11 for you. Yeah. And I was like, does anybody know if Matt Connor's in bed? Like I can hop on AA, I can throw up a post for him, you know? And then I saw your little green light come on And I was like, I simultaneously was like, glad I didn't have to do it, but I also felt bad because I knew it was late for you and it was only 10 o'clock for me. But what's your opinion on it? We haven't had a chance to talk.
I got up at 3:45 a.m. to put together like reaction post and edit further stuff. Yeah, it was a late night, long night, but I mean, it was, I'm all celebratory, man. I don't want to repeat what you guys have said, but this is the best wide receiver in Kansas City since the Tyreek Hill trade. I'm over the moon about the signing. I wanted this before the trade deadline last year. I was beating the drum on socials going, hey, Hollywood Brown should be the guy and Arizona should be selling. They were stupid not to get something for him at that point, you know, back then, because they're a go nowhere franchise until they get several other pieces in place. So yeah, I'm sure you over the moon. I'm over the moon about it. Remember last year when we had like seven guys and we were like, oh, here's seven like specialists. It's like when you watch one of those heist movies and you're like, we got the explosives guy. We got the guy who can shut off the power in the building. We've got the surveillance guy. And like we talked about each of those guys. And then it turns out, hey, when you put that guy on the field, the defense knows exactly the one thing he can do and they just shut it down. And it was like the whole wide receiver room sucked because we just had like a bunch of specialists who honestly weren't that great at what they specialized in. Like Brown is just the opposite of all that. He's the guy you put on the field who can, you know, he's too small. He's not your ex who's going to like be physical for the ball. But other than that, he'll do everything Mecole Hardman does. He'll do everything Marquez Valdes-Scantling did. He can be right there with Rice and Kelce. How do you defend the short to intermediate part of the field now? Like, what do you even do with these three guys that were there? We saw it when Sammy Watkins was around. You need three guys. And Brett Veach would always just, like, you'd see him go, man, if we could just get him healthy. It was the difference between having, like, Kelce, a good wide receiver in Tyreek, and then another guy in the passing game. Not out of the backfield, not a Pacheco or Hunt, but, like, when Watkins was healthy, when the Lizard King was around and a thing, right? Yeah. Then the offense, you're like, oh man, there's no stopping it. And Brown provides that third option, especially that Rice has like really ascended. This is huge, man. I mean, I would have paid twice what they did. I would have been fine with like 18 to 20 for 1 year and being done with it. So this was, I'm over the moon. Sorry if I repeated all you guys said, by the way.
No. And I think you're right. And it's not that, like, you know, just like with Sammy, it wasn't like he comes out every game and he puts up a big stat line every game. But he applied a certain pressure to the defense that allowed other guys to do their thing on the football field. And to your point, that's exactly what we saw last year. It just, MVS, 2 years ago, he was able to apply a little bit of that pressure and occasionally make a big play downfield. Last year, it just wasn't happening. And once teams figured out that, like, oh man, like, this guy's washed, like, he can't beat us. And even when he does beat us, he can't find the ball. Like, they just weren't afraid at all. They were able to come downhill on the Chiefs. Hollywood Brown's going to change that, make it a little bit easier. You're getting year two of Rashee Rice. It's going to free up Kelce a little bit more. It's going to help open up for the running game. And they may not be done. Look, you know, with the cap situation, we got to see exactly how everything plays out. Tyler Boyd's still floating around out there. Mike Williams. Like, listen, if they can do it, go get Mike Williams too. If Mike Williams is like annoyed, if he's annoyed at the Chargers right now, which he should be, right? Because they are like putting him out there like in the last game of the season with nothing on the line and he like breaks his back and he can't play in the playoffs. Like, if I was Mike Williams, I'd be like, all I want, I'm at the end of my career. I want to go get a ring, go play with Patrick Mahomes for a year. Maybe it gets me another contract. If he takes a similar, because obviously I think Hollywood Brown, he could have gotten more, right? Somebody would have paid him more than what the Chiefs are paying.
Yeah, that's the report out there, that the market was not like that's what Ari Marov said of whatever, you know, said the market wasn't what he wanted. And so he went to KC. So, you know, if it worked for Juju 2 years ago, if it works for him this year, we're going to see a yearly, you know, exodus in and out of, you know, out of KC.
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, and they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think this is huge. But you know, by the way, he's got this deep speed. You know, he can go all, like, he can be that MVS, but the acceleration, the burn, like, even just the threat of that is going to, like, we're going to see stop and go. It's just going to be, people are going to love this kid. And like, what kind of an upgrade is Clayton Toon to Patrick Mahomes? Like, what kind of an upgrade is that? Like, that's like trading in, I married my elementary school librarian and suddenly she turned into Taylor Swift or something. I don't know. Like that, this is like the craziest upgrade I've ever heard of. I don't know why I just said apparently I have a thing for my elementary school librarian.
Who was she? Matt Connor, did she break your heart?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Renfro. I'm sorry. Anyway.
Did you ever call her mom? Speaking of Renfro, the Chiefs really need, and Kansas City as a whole needs a corner of the market on Hunter Renfros, because the Kansas City Royals went out and got Hunter Renfro, the baseball player. What do you know? What do you think of a little 28-year-old slot receiver Hunter Renfro coming to KC? Now, I'm not a huge fan because I think the Chiefs are good in the slot. Obviously, Hollywood Brown's more of an outside guy and more a stretch-the-field guy. But if you still believe that Rashee Rice thrives in the slot, I don't think you want to mess with that. I'm thinking more of a bigger-bodied guy, maybe like a Xavier Leggett, you know, from South Carolina. I like your Mike Williams one, but the issue is I've never seen Kansas City in my years growing up try and bring in a aging, injury-prone wide receiver that does not seem to fit the Brett Veach market. I know Matt Connor's going to hit me with a injury prone. He's played a lot of games before. Yeah, but look recently, 13-3, not great. And it's also not how many games has Mike Williams started. It's how many has Mike Williams finished. That seems to be the issue for me. I will also point out with Mike Williams, I would be ecstatic if it's a cheaper contract a la the Mike Williams or a la the Hollywood Brown one. Again, I still feel like Mike Williams would get a decent contract out on the open market, and I do not want the Chiefs to be that team to pay him.
If they can get him for the right deal, you don't want to throw a bunch of money at him and hamstring yourself. That you still need a left tackle, maybe, like all that stuff. But like, if he's willing to do it, if he wants to come and chase a ring, I mean, like, you get him for like $7 million, throw some incentives in there, something like that. And he, like, you don't need him in the regular season. Like, that's the thing with Mike Williams. Like, you can rotate, let him rehab, let him get right. It's the same way I feel about Charles Omenihu. People are like, oh, should we cut Charles Omenihu to make cap space? And I'm like, if you look at him medically and you're like, he's not going to be toast, like he'll be able to come back and be the Charles Omenihu we had last year, keep him on the team, man. Like, who cares if he doesn't come back until December? You're going to the playoffs. You want that guy in the playoffs helping you win another Super Bowl. I feel the same way about Mike Williams. Like, if the Chargers would put him out there, all because they're so damn desperate, and Brandon Staley is an idiot, so they would put him out there all the time. The Chiefs don't need to do that. Like, if he comes, everybody would be annoyed all season long. You know, he comes, he'll play a couple games, he'll be out for 2 weeks. He'll play a couple games, he'll be out for 2 weeks. But it won't necessarily maybe be because he's horribly injury prone. It's because the Chiefs don't have to take chances with him. And then when you get to the playoffs, it was the same way with Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins was out all the time. And then he goes in the playoffs and he helps you win a Super Bowl. I'm all for it if they can get it done. My head will explode. If they're able to sign Mike Williams and then draft another rookie, oh, get out of here.
Didn't Mike Williams have like an injured back, and then he like broke it in the playoff game, something like that? They're like, yeah, we know your back's bleeped, guy, but go ahead and go out there, and then he just immediately gets drilled in the back. It was like the whole Mike Tyson thing, where it's like, my back is broken. What do you mean, Mike? What is it? Is it the vertebrae? Spinal. Like, that's my all-time favorite quote. But that's all I think about with Mike Williams is the broken back now.
It was last game of the season. It was week 18, right? He was hurt, and they played him in a game that didn't mean anything. And then he got hurt, and then he was out for the playoff game against the Jaguars.
I think you guys are playing some Madden in your head.
You don't think they can do it?
I think there's some. I mean, look, anyone who has, you think a lot of these guys should have enough money, and they say all the right things at the end of their career, and you know where they go? To get more money, right? Like DeAndre Hopkins makes like over $100 million in his career, has the chance at the end to go somewhere, and he goes, put me with the Titans, because that's really going to get me somewhere with a 35-year-old Tannehill, and maybe Will Levis will turn it. I mean, look, man, these guys say all the right things, but it's always money. And the thing about money is you always want more money. That's what money does to us. So, like, any of these guys, like, it's a rare bird. It's like seeing the, like, oh, my gosh, I spotted the rare owl, blah, blah. I mean, like, it's like just a rare thing to find the guy who's like, yeah, I want to win a ring. And really, I want to win a ring. Otherwise, I'm like, I don't, dude, stop talking. You don't mean any of that. Just say you're going for the bag and you're going to the team. Mike Williams would be the anomaly if he really wants to win the ring and do that. The report on Hollywood Brown was the money wasn't there. And now he can say he wants to win. Because the Chiefs showed him at least some level of money and then the opportunity.
Do you think that now with everything they got Hollywood Brown, if the cap works, do you think they're considering like maybe just having Snead play on the tag?
That's a great call, dude.
Right.
I mean, that's a really good call. Maybe it all comes down to if they trust Wanye at left tackle or if they're going to try and go out and get a veteran. That might be the only deciding factor, because that's what the only spot you're really looking at is a sizable investment. And when I mean sizable, I mean probably $10 million or less, just because it's the Tyron Smiths, it's the David Bakhtiaris, it's the injury prone veterans who once were good, but can they stay healthy? I think that's a really good call, Patrick. I haven't really thought about that at this point now. I think it's actually probably starting to trend more that way, more than I think a lot of people probably are thinking about.
Yeah, if they don't get the deal that they want, they have to balance are the offers that we're getting more valuable to us than having Legarius on the field for one more season for a Super Bowl run? And if they're not wowed by it, if it's not a second or a first round pick, they don't have to do it. He'll show up just like Chris Jones did. He'll show up. And I mean, Verderam was on the show last night and we were chatting and you know, he was talking about the depth at tackle in this class. And he was like, now that you have Hollywood Brown, if they want to take if there's some tackles they like that they want to take in the first round, they could do that. And then after the draft, if they want to, if he's still sitting there, they could call up Donovan Smith and be like, you want a couple more $1 million? And like, to Matt Connor's point, Donovan Smith might be like, yeah, I'll take a couple $1 million. Sure. I'm old. $2 million is $2 million. And he comes to camp and then you just get a look at everybody. You're Andy Reid and you're like, okay, I'm evaluating year two of Wanye Morris. And I could just put the best player in there. And I've got a veteran who's capable and I've got Legarius Sneed back for a year. There's a lot to like about the Chiefs position right now.
The weird thing is, can anyone read the Sneed situation? I mean, it wouldn't surprise me today if he was traded outright to any other team in the NFL. It also wouldn't surprise me if he resigns for 4 years with the Chiefs. I mean, I just can't remember a scenario where any of that was on the table and the player was like, I'm comfortable with any of it. And the team felt like they were comfortable with any of it. I just can't remember any sort of super zen moment where anything felt possible and that it would be okay with all parties involved.
Well, it's a very good point, Connor. And with comfortability makes me think, I don't want to say lackadaisical or laissez-faire, but more or less just, okay, well, if we don't have to do something, we're not going to push hard to do something. So maybe you're right. If they are both comfortable with the situation, which either way it goes, maybe that means there's a better odds of him staying a Kansas City Chief, at least on the franchise tag.
Yeah. And this is what the Mahomes contract does for you. It gives you the flexibility if you're Brett Veach. You don't have to pull that lever every year if you don't want to, but you can. Especially, you know, these other teams, I think what gets lost in the conversation about, you know, pushing the money and turning it into bonuses and all that stuff with other players is that when teams like the Chargers and the Bills have been doing that, they've been doing it for guys like skill players and pass rushers and things like that. And like those guys get old and they fall off. Patrick Mahomes is 28. The Chiefs know that they're going to, he's going to have one, maybe two more contracts with Kansas City. They can push that pain. They can keep pushing that pain out, you know, farther and farther and farther, because they're going to keep this guy. He's not going anywhere. And hopefully he plays until he's 45. He's, you know, if that's what he
only
wants.
Only 45?
What's that?
Only 45?
I mean, he's Patrick Mahomes. Look,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, kicking him to the curb, Patrick. What's going on?
Yeah, it's true. I don't want to take the hate. Look, man, I will be placed to 65. But, you know, it's a huge advantage for the Chiefs. And they were brilliant when they set his contract up way back when. It was an absolutely brilliant move to sign him to that 10-year, you know, extension to give themselves the flexibility. And we were talking about this last night with Verderam. The Chiefs are, when they decided to bring back Chris Jones, they're very smartly looking at this as it's not just about, like, yes, they want to manage the cap. They want to keep really good players and flexibility around Patrick Mahomes because Patrick Mahomes is going to be there long term. But there's also a clear recognition on the part of the Chiefs front office that right now is a special time, and they're at the tail end of a special time. Andy Reid, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce. Those are three Hall of Famers that you don't know how much longer they're going to be there and how much longer they're going to be effective for you. So it does, they're not in the position as a franchise where they need to go all in, like the desperate teams out there, like the Bills and the Bengals, but they need to go all in enough to where they make sure that they don't waste these last like 2 to 3 years that they might have with these guys. Because when they walk out the door, they're still going to be able to win because they have Patrick Mahomes. But who knows, man? They may not have a period where they have three in their prime Hall of Fame contributors to the team again. And so it might get harder to win Super Bowls a little bit down the line. This is unbelievable what they have right now. And they're playing it exactly right. Let's just not fuck this up. Like Travis, any year could be it. Andy, any year could be it. So Spags is no spring chicken. Like they're doing it just right. And I think when we look back as we get into the later years of the Mahomes era, we're going to look back at this era and be like, thank God they didn't get too crazy trying to be like, we're cap masters and, you know, all that stuff. Hats off to Brett Veach for the way he's doing it.
Yeah, they're not the Saints. 31 other teams right. are cap compliant, and the Saints keep finding ways. And just to go 500, by the way, it's not like the Saints are out here competing for Super Bowls. The NFL is just like, you know what? You're not good enough to penalize. We'll just let you keep doing what you're doing. It's hilarious. But again, going back to what you said, as far as a lot of teams, you know, with the restructures and all these contracts to not Mahomes players, I said even with Chris Jones, someone goes, well, that's a lot of money. Given out, look at the Bills, look at the Bengals, they go, yeah, that's a lot of money given out to players who are not like Chris Jones. You can't give contracts out to guys who don't produce like this. Giving money to Von Miller, everyone saw it was a horrible deal. No one was out here lauding that deal saying, yeah, that's a great deal. He's going to play all that. He's going to be effective through all of it. No, it was hopefully he's good that first year. And that was the bet that didn't pay off. Yeah. You see it all the time. The Bengals have had to tear down a couple times already. Now they got a good move with bringing in Geno Stone at safety, pretty cheap contract. But they had to get rid of Jesse Bates. Jesse Bates had a phenomenal year last year with the Falcons. I mean, he was incredible. Von Bell, other safety, solid year. I mean, you look around in the Bills, the Bengals, the Dolphins, obviously the Chargers, who I wouldn't even throw in the same category of competition yet. But you're sitting here, all these teams – what have they won? What do they have to show for it? And they're already having to tear down and try again. The only two teams that I think are legit contenders are the Ravens and the Texans. The Texans have done this perfectly. I've said time and time again, I saw it going into last year. If you followed me at all, you knew how high I was in the Texans going into last season. They've made all the right moves again. But, I mean, it's the Chiefs, and then you have the rotating cast of now it's the Texans and the Ravens. But who's always up there? It's the Chiefs. They don't give out bad contracts. Whatever your thoughts are on Juwan Taylor, I was not a fan. It's not a massive hindrance. It wasn't the Von Miller contract. They're still getting production. They're still getting use out of Juwan Taylor. And you look at what the guards are making in the NFL, let alone tackles, you're sitting here going, okay, maybe it's not the worst contract in the world. That's the same thing with Joe Tooney. The Joe Tooney contract was brutal. Look at what the contracts the other guards are getting. Joe Tooney's now average. It's wild to me. Brett Veach is a wizard.
All these teams think they're a player away. That's the thing. They are the Bill. We're just one player away. We're so close. We're going to get the Chiefs aren't one player away. The Chiefs can win it right now. They don't have to do those things. And that's what the difference between the Chiefs and everybody else is. If they make that gamble, if they roll those dice and it doesn't work out for them, you end up in a situation like the Bills. You end up in a situation like the Saints, who aren't even as close as the Bills are. It's a great advantage for KC.
Yeah, credit to those organizations. They did what they needed to do. If there was no Mahomes in the way, if there was no God given down from the heavens enlightened member of the NFL, you do what you have to do. You take your one chance. You sign Von Miller big. You go all in to win your one Super Bowl. Because that's parity and that's the NFL and that's what's supposed to happen. Yeah. Like Mahomes isn't supposed to happen. So when he does, every other team's trying to do what every team is supposed to do to go all in and they're one short window. And, you know, I don't want to cry foul over them not making it. They put up a good fight. That's the most you can do in the Mahomes era. Sorry. Yeah. So yeah. I think, you know, those teams deserve credit for building good fighters. And sorry, that's not enough. You just happen to be a GM in the same era as Mahomes and Brett Veach. And sorry, Charlie. If anything, the Bills should be lobbying to move to the NFC. If they want to do anything at all, that's how you establish your legacy, is get the hell out of Mahomes' way and say, I'll just build a different house in a new neighborhood. That's what you do.
You're just delaying the inevitable. A couple of super chats to get to really quickly from Zach16. Great signing. Now, hopefully we don't draft a 5'10 Division II receiver in the second round. Go get Xavier Leggett. Appreciate you, man. Thank you for the super chat. Look.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't care.
Sterling's guy.
I don't care that he's only been like a wide receiver that's been talented for 1 year. I don't care that folks are, well, can he run routes? The same thing was said about DK Metcalf. Like, the same thing was, can he run routes? Well, yeah, get him with a NFL coaching staff. Get him with dudes who can help teach him. He's young. He's going to develop. You can't teach that body size. That's the kind of guy that I would like to take a flyer on, a risk on in the second round, third round. I don't think he's DK Metcalf. Maybe he's DK Metcalf light, but still a dude you take a flyer on, a risk on. I would prefer that over the perpetual, as he mentioned, 5'10 guys. I'm sorry, I'm 5'10, okay? I know myself. I am not a physical freak of nature. Like Tyreek Hill is the outlier. Stop trying to draft the outlier. Draft the norm.
Yeah, I'm with you. They need more. But look, I don't think Brett Veach is done. I've been saying it since last season that when it comes to the wide receiver position, Brett Veach is going to go scorched earth. And just because he didn't come out of the gate scorched earth when he rebuilt the offensive line. No, he signed Joe Tooney and then like he did things through the draft. Like he made these moves that ended up working out. And we looked at it when it was all said and done. And we're like, wow, he like remade this entire thing. He's not going to panic, but I don't think he's going to sign Hollywood Brown and be like, okay. And then we'll, you know, we're good. Like there will be more new faces, definitely probably through the draft, but I wouldn't be surprised if they bring in some other guys. Maybe it's not Mike Williams or Tyler Boyd, but I think he'll go out there and continue making moves. You know, there was rumor that they were interested in oh God, who was it? Curtis Samuel. Weird Curtis Samuel. His name got thrown out there. I think Hollywood Brown's a better get than get than Curtis Samuel, but I really like Curtis Samuel. I surmise that they thought they could get Hollywood Brown and Curtis Samuel. Like, I think that if they were after Curtis Samuel, they were definitely after Hollywood Brown. So they may be looking at another veteran guy to bring in to kind of shore that room up a little bit and then really feel comfortable heading into the draft and not being like, oh, well, you know, we get an injury to Hollywood Brown and we're right back in the same boat that we were last year. I think he's going to double and triple down. I don't know exactly how he's going to do it, but I expect more to come.
Well, that's a really interesting call, and I do think you're right. It wasn't just one or the other. It may have been trying to get both. I was very high on Curtis Samuel, always have been. I love his versatility. He feels like a chief, right? He feels like what the Chiefs covet in players, can play in the backfield. He can take a handoff. He can play in the slot. He can play on the outside. You can do some wide receiver screens with him. Line him up anywhere, and he'll find a way to be productive. Again, he's in that 600 to 800 yard range seemingly perpetually every single year with bad quarterbacks. I thought he made a lot of sense for the Chiefs. He's like a souped up Sky Moore, a souped up Kadarius Toney, souped up McCole Hardman to an extent, or at least a guy that you trust, a gadget player, but who at least can catch the rock, which is very valuable. I would have liked to see him here. And what makes it interesting for me is, you know, Hollywood Brown's on the outside because of the speed and the deep ball threat, right? So they're a different player than Curtis Samuel, who I believe last year played 70% of his snaps in the slot, which almost leads me to believe, do the Chiefs now believe Rashee Rice is an outside receiver the majority of the time? That would, if they would have got and brought in Curtis Samuel, that to me almost would have given me the indication that, okay, they believe Rashee Rice is an outside guy, not a power slot.
Yeah. Shout out to Savannah, one of our members, best supporters. She's at work early out there in Arizona for the super chat. Says having Jones back is huge, but our D-line needs help. Need a big run stopper. I'm still hoping for a defensive tackle in the second round. And then in the first round, then go receiver in two. She's speaking. I know she's speaking to Matt Connor.
Can I propose to her? Are you single? I'm not single, but...
What are you doing, man?
That's the Arrowhead Addict podcast, baby. Matt Connor might propose to you. That's why you become a member.
I mean, that's like my love language is getting a D lineman in the first round. We're re-signing. Look, man, I think that position, the D line, you know, people have kind of torched me on Twitter for this, but look, that D line last year was the Chiefs' weakest position group. I'd rather go back to war next year with the wide receivers we had last year than the D line we had last year. And we're sitting here in the first days of free agency re-upping Mike Pinnell on a 1-year deal.
Don't you dare rip on Mike Pinnell.
Yeah, don't you say that.
That's the one name I will not entertain, Connor.
Look, man, you know we agree. I agree that he had a good season, but look, he was sitting on his couch in early October playing in the Super Bowl in February. That's just not how I want to build my line. It's not.
That's fair. But did you see what he did in the Super Bowl? He was throwing guys around like Tinker Toys.
I'm saying we're on the phone in the first day of free agency with Turk Wharton, Derek Nottie, Mike Pinnell. What are we doing? What are we doing?
Get the band back together.
Yeah, let's get the band back together when it's like...
And that band is Crocus.
There it is. Yeah, I'm with Savannah. I mean, of course, we like having Chris Jones in that mix, but gosh, if we don't get some fresh impact talent there, it could get ugly.
Connor, you and I have agreed on this perpetually now. I said first round defensive tackle. I never understood why people seemingly gloss over this. I think it's because it's not a sexy position. Like, it's not a position that you really notice. And a lot of times stats don't do justice. Like, you'll see a defensive tackle get 4 sacks. You're like, oh, well, he only had 4 sacks. Well, that's not his game. His game is to take on double teams. His game is to be a run stopper. Like, you can you can tell when those guys make a difference. When Chris Jones gets more one-on-ones, that's when you can tell a dude is making a difference. First round D tackle. Tavondre Sweat's a name I would love. Fisk from Florida State's a name I would be very intrigued by. Obviously, Byron Murphy seems unrealistic, also from Texas. But yeah, there are some names out there. I think the Chiefs will probably cover this in the first or second round. There are some pretty deep players at D tackle this year.
I hope so. And I'll just add this. Last year, we saw the defense go to the next level when we got rid of like the Ben Neiman Sorensen weak spot on the defense, and we upgraded to like a Tranquil and Edwards type of guy. What you do is you raise the floor. Where's the floor? Where's the lowest spot on the defense right now? Defensive tackle. That's where it is. So the way you get that to the next level is by eliminate, like, let's raise the floor wherever it's at. Last year we did that. Third safety was a bad spot. Third or fourth linebacker, bad spot. We need new bodies. We did that, and suddenly now the defense is carrying us because they're that good. So again, I'm looking at the defense going, okay, where's the next spot we raise the floor? It's just super obvious to me, and that's where you invest.
I see in the chat, Ty Bullock asked, is there a scenario where Jefferson, meaning Justin Jefferson, ends up in Kansas City, saw a possible Sneed first and a future second trade proposal? Listen, Ty.
I think Thomas Jefferson has a better chance of playing football for the Chiefs than Justin.
If the Chiefs could trade, if the Chiefs could trade L'Jarius Sneed for a first and a second to get Justin Jefferson, the problem is the money. He's bananas. Like, he's going to cost, they could have just kept Tyreek Hill. He's going to be too expensive. He's just too good. What you need to do if you're the Chiefs is try to find a guy like that if you can, great, in the draft. So you're able to, you know, pay him the rookie contract. They'd have to get rid of too much.
Find Justin Jefferson in the draft. You think so?
I mean, that's the only way you're going to have another guy like that again, as long as you got Mahomes. Like, there's not too many scenarios. Like, if the Chiefs suddenly have the cap space to go and get a guy as expensive as Justin Jefferson while they have Patrick Mahomes, it means the rest of the team is in a shambles because they don't have good players at other positions. Their formula is working. Trade for him on Madden and just have fun with that. But we're probably never going to get to see Patrick Mahomes throw the ball to Justin Jefferson as titillating as that would be. Real quickly, I know we got to get out of here. People got stuff to do all morning, all that stuff. Before we go, and shout out to everybody who joined us so early, what do you think is Brett Veach's next move? I'll start with you, Connor.
I mean, I'm looking at Mike Dana wondering how in the world a mid-20s defensive end who sets the edge well, does nothing horribly wrong. Like, he's not going to make mistakes. He can disrupt the passer. He's gotten better at his craft all 4 years. He's highly teachable, a sponge from coaching. He's got a nonstop motor, killer work ethic, and 3 rings. And I'm looking at this market going, how are all these other ends going? And I'm not even hearing any rumors about a guy who I think should be getting 8 to 10 or even more a year. It's bananas to me that Mike Dana doesn't have a new job. If I'm Brett Veach, I'm going back to him going, hey, I'm sorry, the market is maybe softer for you, but I would love nothing more than to bring, like, if I'm bringing back Turk Wharton and whoever else along the front line, I'd be glad to have Dana back.
Especially when if you're keeping Omenihue and he's not going to be ready for the start of the season, you bring in that guy to rotate in with hopefully an improving FAU. But, like, I agree. And if you saw the Chiefs made an in-house video during the season and they were asking the players, who's the most underrated guy on the team? And they were all like, Mike Dana is great. Like, they love him. He's making an impact in the locker room too. They said he's always where he's supposed to be, doesn't always get the glory. So you go and you see the 6 sacks or whatever last year as a fan, and you're like, great. The players on the team are telling you Mike Dana is really good. Sterling?
Yeah, I think that's a good one. You know me and my love for Mike Dana. I'm part of the Mike Dana fan club. We can take minutes if you want me to. I'll take the minutes. Are we there? If you're a Mike Dana member, say aye.
Call to order.
Aye. All right, call to order. We now have 2 members. Okay, we're good to go. Sneed, I think, is the obvious one. I'll go a little less obvious here. I think offensive line. With Nick Allegretti getting a starting job alongside his former chief offensive lineman, Andrew Wiley, congratulations to Washington for just being a spot to give starting jobs and money to former chief backups. Good for them. I'm actually really happy for Allegretti. That's awesome.
Yeah,
we knew this was going to happen, but you trusted him just how they trusted Andrew Wiley beforehand. Man, it doesn't need to be a big signing, but a guy you trust. I think offensive line's a spot for me, and most likely it's going to be a swing guy. unless you think Wanya Morris is a swing guy this year, if you bring in like a Tyron Smith. But the Chiefs do need to have that depth, because we found how important it is to have a offensive lineman, that sixth guy, seventh guy that you trust, that you can plug and play, not just in the regular season, but in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl. They did that with Allegretti. They had it with Andrew Wiley before. They need it again with the guy they trust.
Yeah, I mean, interior, I'm interested to know what they think of Mike Caliendo. He's been hanging around. You know, do they think he can be the new Allegretti inside? It's hard for us to know because we don't really have a lot to look at when it comes to that. But look, man, they've got interior offensive line. There's decisions coming. Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, Joe Tooney, not a spring chicken. Like, watch what Brett Veach does in this draft. He's always working ahead, drafting defensive backs ahead of Legarius Sneed's contract coming up, like drafting safeties ahead of Tyrann Mathieu's contract coming out. Like, he's always thinking about what positions, where am I going to need depth? Where might I need new, young, cheap starters? Watch what he does in this draft. It'll probably tell you a lot about what he thinks about who they can and can't keep. All right. Anything else to say, fellas, before we get out of here and enjoy the rest of our it's always a red Friday for me in the offseason, man, especially after we win the Super Bowl. Let me tell you guys, you should be wearing your Chiefs shit all the time. Wear your red on to the St. Patrick's Day parade this weekend. You know how, like, sometimes when the Chiefs lose, you feel like you don't want to put your Chiefs gear on because you're like annoyed at the team or whatever. Like, they lost, they look bad. Like, I definitely did not want to throw my Chiefs hat on after that game against the Raiders on Christmas Day. They just won the Super Bowl. You have an uninterrupted entire offseason where you can wear, you have nothing to be ashamed of. You can wear your Chiefs gear and nobody can say crap to you about it because you're back to back champions. Like, we have been champions for 2 years. By the time next season starts, live it up, man. Fly your flags. You guys agree with me on this?
I thought it was a good way to end. I thought you were just about to take us out with some positive story.
Yeah, baby, you're the firework. I thought you were like gonna.
I should have just walked out. Red Friday. Every day is Red Friday, all off season long. We appreciate you all. If you're new here, hit the like and subscribe button. Make sure you turn on notifications because we do sometimes spontaneously go live when the Chiefs do something. They make another move today. There was just a big trade with the Vikings draft picks. Like, stuff's moving and shaking still right now with free agency. So Brett Veach might make another move, especially now that he's got this Hollywood thing taken care of. If he does, we might hop back on here. So appreciate all of your support. You don't want to miss it. So that's why you need to have those notifications on. Shout out to all of our members for their support. I see a bunch of you guys out there. If you want to become a member of the Arrowhead Addict podcast crew, check out the link in the description. It's a great way to support the content that we provide you here. If we don't see you this weekend, have a happy and safe St. Patrick's Day. Remember, it's amateur hour. Don't go out there and embarrass yourself, but have a good time. Connor, do you have something you wanted to say?
No, just waving bye.
Waving bye. All right. Sorry. All right. Thank you for your support, everybody. Thank you to producer Richard for getting us up and running early this morning. We will see you next week. But until then, as always, go Chiefs.